So let's begin. If you were here last week or listened to the podcast, last week Matt wrapped up our series on the church, God's great plan. And he talked about being rooted in good soil. And he shared about the difference between how something grows if it's in a pot, if it's restricted to that size, and the difference that if you're rooted in a place where your roots can grow deep and wide, that you can grow as big as God created you to grow. And so this week we begin our series on growing. God's word is seed. Jesus often used agricultural parables and analogies to express kingdom principles. He did that because they were familiar and understandable to the people of that day, and I hope for most of us that they are understandable too. So we're going to look at some of these today, and I'm sure over the next few weeks we'll look at even more of them. I want to begin that with a very familiar parable in Matthew 13. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. And it says this, starting at verse 3. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then Jesus later, a few verses later, explains the parable to the people so that they definitely get understanding. He says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown in rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown in good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is seed for our lives. We pray that as we hear your word today, as we look at that it would fall on good soil, Lord God. That the word that you speak would produce fruit in our lives. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's two things I want us to kind of focus on today as we look at this parable regarding the seed in God's word. And first, what we need to recognize is that both in the parable itself and overall, in truth, all the seed, all of God's word is good. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, God himself speaking through the prophet says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which grows forth from my mouth, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the matter which I sent. So God's word is going to do what he says it's going to do. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Amen. The seed of God's word is all and always good. It will accomplish what he sets out for it to accomplish. It will grow. It will teach us. It will reprove us. It will correct us. It will train us up. So if the seed is all good, then what are the variables in our lives that are going to affect the seed, that are going to determine whether it produces fruit 160-30-fold or at all? And I always believe that a good place to start is in the beginning. And in Genesis 1, we have the account of creation. We have the account of the beginning. And in verse 11, God says this, when he created the earth, he said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants, yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit, after their kind, with seed in them." And it was so. You see, every seed will produce after its own kind. Some of you might have been there to work with Ted in planting his garden. But a very basic principle is this, that if you want to grow corn, you need to plant corn seed. If you want to grow beans, you've got to plant bean seed. It's both a natural and spiritual principle. It holds true in the spiritual as much as in the natural. It's important, then, that we make sure that the seed that we sow and the seed that we allow to be sown into us is the seed that we want to grow. So let's look at another parable that Jesus taught about seeds. In Matthew 13, 24 through 30, and then again 36 through 43, the explanation. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them into bundles and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barns.'" And then when he explains it, he says, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are angels. And so just as the tares are gathered and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire, and in a place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." So if we want to produce fruit for the kingdom, we need to make sure that it's seed from the kingdom that we're receiving. It needs to be pure. It needs to be uncontaminated. Now, it's good for us. There's many, many, many marvelous teachers and preachers on the internet or on TV. You can read their books. You can buy their DVDs. Most people don't do that anymore. You have digital recordings that are available. Some people still have cassettes from the old days. There's a lot of good teachers, a lot of good word available. And it's good to do that. But we also need to heed a warning that Jesus gave in Matthew 24. In verses 4 to 14, Jesus says this. He says, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ.'" That's important there. Jesus says that they're going to come in his name saying that "I am," Jesus is the Christ, and will mislead men. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you're not frightened, for these things must take place, But that's not yet the end, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because of lawlessness is increased, most of people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So the warning that Jesus gives is that we shouldn't be misled. He says that those who mislead many will say that he's the Christ. Their deception then is not that they try to talk about another Savior. It's not that they try to claim a false Messiah or even to be a false Messiah. So Jesus isn't warning us about other religions in this portion of Scripture. In the name of Christ, they mislead by changing who Jesus is. You see, they mislead many because they update Jesus and his words to fit the culture of the day. They contaminate the true word of God by adding opinion and speculation. They add tares to the pure seed of God's word. They teach and share a gospel that says if Jesus were here today, that rather than calling sinners to repent, he would embrace and tolerate their sin. Many are misled. In Matthew 5:17-20, Jesus himself says this: do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. So we need to guard our hearts and our minds against the tares of false teachers who relax, water down, and contaminate the word. Good seed, God's seed, produces good fruit. Bad seed can't produce good fruit. It'll produce bad fruit. And just as the tares look very much like the wheat when they're growing up together, so do the seeds of deceptive teaching often sound very much like the true word of God. There's often a lot of truth in what's being said, but just woven in is a little bit of false teaching. You know, the devil himself tried to deceive and twist the word of God when he tried to tempt Jesus himself. He used the word of God to try to tempt Jesus, but he twisted. It was deception. And the devil uses that same deception in our lives today. He will gladly take a lot of truth if he can sow the seed of one lie. So how can we be sure? How can we be sure? How can we know that the seed that we're receiving, that the word that we're hearing is true? In John 14:26, Jesus says this. He says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. You see, it's good to have teachers. In our series previous, God's Plans for the Church, we learned that and heard that teachers are called by God. They're called to help us to be to help us to equip, to grow, to mature. But the most important teacher, the only teacher that's infallible, is the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 12 says this. It says, "The Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." We know by the Spirit. But here's the thing. There's a lot of people who want to follow the Spirit today. And that's a good thing. It's important. It's essential in our lives to have the Holy Spirit, to have Him as our guide, to yield to His leadership. But Jesus says the Holy Spirit will teach us and bring to remembrance all that Jesus said. And here's the thing. If we're going to remember what Jesus said, then we need to know what Jesus said. See, we can't rely on somebody else to tell us what Jesus said, because they might add their opinion or their speculation. We need to know what Jesus said so that we can remember what He said. You know, we might not, if we read the Bible, we might not understand everything that's in there. It might confuse us. Sometimes it might not seem relevant to what's going on. But it's important that we receive the pure Word of God, either by reading or by listening to Scripture, and that we don't receive only what somebody else says it says. See, if we've received the true Word, the pure Word of God, then the Holy Spirit can help us. He can teach us. If we've read and heard what Jesus said, the Holy Spirit can bring it to our remembrance. If something that a teacher says doesn't line up to what Jesus said, then it's tares. In the same way, if we're relying on the Holy Spirit, if we think we're hearing the Holy Spirit, if what we're hearing doesn't line up with what Jesus said, then it's not the Holy Spirit that we're hearing either. The Holy Spirit will never contradict what Jesus said. They're one. They're in complete unity. So the Holy Spirit today is not going to update, change, or contradict what is already spoken by Jesus in God's Word. So the other variable then, along with being certain that we have good seed, pure seed, is that the seed also finds good soil. Look again at what the sower parable says. Jesus says this: "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road." Have you ever seen a flower bloom, even in the, like out of rocks, even out of a crack in the sidewalk? Something can bloom. So even in the very worst of soil, the seed is still good. So we need to keep it from being snatched away. Even in the worst of conditions, we need the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. So that even if it only produces one tiny little thing, the seed won't be squandered. "The one with whom the seed was sown in rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately falls away. Haven't we all heard messages that inspired us to change? We've been exhorted to do better. We determined that, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to follow through with that. I'm going to begin that. We leave the place. Monday comes. Tuesday comes, if we make it that far. We leave the place and we return to our old habits and our old ways. It's not the fault of the seed. It's the soil. In Psalm 37, 3 through 5, the psalmist says this. He says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do it." When you cultivate soil, what you're doing is it's like plowing. You're breaking it up. You're clearing things that shouldn't be grown there, and you're breaking up the hardness of the soil so that it can receive the good seed. The psalmist says we need to cultivate faithfulness. And now there's a difference between faithfulness and faith. Last week, Matt talked about the idea that faith the size of a mustard seed can grow into a huge tree. But it's faithfulness that we need to cultivate. We need to be, not to have faith, but we need to be faithful. We need to do what God's Word instructs us to do. We need to cultivate the soil of our hearts so that we can establish roots and faithfulness can grow in our lives. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Again, we've all experienced the choking of the worry and the busyness of the world, the deceit of the world, but the seed itself is still good. It's the soil. We who receive that seed that need to change. We need to change the condition of the soil, not the seed. Jesus says, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So we worry about the wealth of the world, material things. We can be deceived by those things, the busyness of accumulating those things. But Jesus says that we should seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And finally then, the one on whom the seed was sown in good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And I believe we all want to be that good soil. We all want to be that pure, good soil where the seed of God's word finds a place to grow and produce fruit. But remembering that all the seed is good, we don't want to squander any of it. And here's the thing, in each one of our lives, there's probably times that we could recognize that we've been like one of those types of soil. And it might be that one day we're in that place where we're the good soil, but yet another day, even after that, we're in the rocky place. Or we're like the roadside. As a body, though, we can help each other. We can exhort and encourage each other so that the good seed can't be snatched away. And if we're planted in a body, our roots can grow deep and spread wide. If we experience if we experience a time when the worries are choking out the seed from our lives, others can come and stand with us. They can cut back the thorns from our lives, and they can help us to thrive rather than to strive. And I'm not saying that this is the only place or the best place for good soil. For the seed of God's word to grow in and through you. But if you are planted here, if there's a word that comes forth from any speaker that you don't quite understand or you don't agree with, You had the opportunity to ask that person. If you're listening to a teacher on TV, the chances that you can ask him to explain what he said are pretty low. You can ask somebody else. And together, the Holy Spirit can teach us and guide us in truth. He can bring to our remembrance all that Jesus said. We can understand the word together. We can grow. We can mature. We can become better soil, good soil, producing fruit 30, 60, and even 100-fold for the kingdom of God. We can grow together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the seed to our lives that is all good and always good. Help us, Lord God, to discern carefully that we are receiving the good seed from your word. Help us to be faithful, Lord God, to read, to study, to listen to your word, Lord God, so that we know, so that the Holy Spirit can teach us, guide us, and bring to our remembrance all that you said, that we'll receive the pure word of God and not the contaminated seed of tares from false teachers, that we wouldn't be misled, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to help each other, to cut back the thorns, to add an extra layer of good soil to those that are struggling. Help us never to squander any seed, because it's all good, and it will all produce and accomplish what you set it for. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for your seed, and for your purpose, that we would grow. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed to go and to grow. See you next week.
Thank you. Thank you.